require a second, dude.
Call the House Finance Committee to order. The time is 1:21 on September the 26th, is it? Present today are Representative Davies, Representative Murkowski, Representative Whitaker, Foster, Lundy, Representative Harris, and Representative Lancaster and Moses and Andy. On the schedule today, we have a public hearing on House Bill 225, alcoholic beverage tax. What I'd like to do, I know there's a lot of interest in this bill, for and against. We've heard a lot of testimony on it in Juneau, and the reason I call this meeting, I was hoping that we would have gotten some sort of direction from the alcohol industry, and they chose not to, and I was going to have a bill at this time presented to you, but we don't have anything as of yet, probably won't until we get back to Juneau. I would like to be able to keep the public testimony down as short as possible. If you've said something already, unless you have something new to say, I think we know where everybody stands on this issue. I'd like to keep it as short as possible. And what I'm planning on doing right now is going until 3 o'clock. And, at the latest, hopefully we can be done before this. So if you had anything to say to the last time, I hope that in fact, we've heard it before. We heard your testimony before, please. Welcome forward. I'd like to start with Representative Murkowski, if she has anything to say on her bill. Murkowski?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do want to take your recommendation and advice to heart and not repeat anything that has already been said or that the committee already received, either through written documentation package that has been presented to the committee. So today is very similar to the package that was presented initially. I do appreciate you scheduling this in an effort to take any new testimony, and I do understand that there has been an effort to get a better sense of what the alcohol industry has been known to assess in terms of increasing the existing excise tax. I'm hopeful that we might hear something relating to that in terms of what they might be, what they might consider to be a reasonable amount. But again, I appreciate you taking the time because it is an issue that has really been subject to a lot of discussion this summer. We can move forward with this positively early career. I don't take any more of the committee's time, but thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bundy.
I've been trying to ask Representative Murkowski a question all summer, and now I have an opportunity. I was explained that her sons have higher priority than I do, and I understand that. I had a question from a constituent who is here, and now I have an opportunity to ask that, and you can answer for me to her. One of my concerns is where the money goes, and you and I know, and I think have had some mutual frustration with tobacco securitization and how it found many homes and very little of it in prevention or treatment. And one of the things that would make some people more comfortable about the alcohol tax was to try to achieve some, and we know we can't put a legal fence around it because of constitutional prohibitions, but some moral fence, some way that we could achieve focusing monies raised from this tax on prevention and treatment. It's my suspicion, and I think shared by other with some experience in the legislative process, that any money that lands on the table, including an alcohol tax, will be very popular from many entities, and so we'll disappear. It won't go to prevention or treatment, or very little of it will. In your mind, is there a way to achieve this moral fence that would focus the money in the main on prevention and treatment and not just have it go into the black hole of the budget?
Well, and as we all know, you cannot just dedicate the funds. You cannot just do that. You can do things like intent language to set out what the intent of this legislature is with regards to those funds, but the intent language is there to be part of the record, but if the next legislature chooses to ignore it, they can do so. You can try to hold the feet to the fire, if you will, by referring back to that intent language. I think we're seeing some of that with the lobbying that we all had this past session from those within the tobacco prevention groups coming to town saying, you said you were going to put it towards the prevention programs, now do it. And so, in a sense, they were kind of there to help remind us of that moral fence that we had perhaps put up. It's my understanding that short of amending our Constitution to allow for a dedication of funds, which I quite honestly don't think is going to happen with this or probably with any other increase in tax, that we will be able to absolutely positively ensure that those funds go for the prevention in the prevention area. I think it is incumbent upon us as individuals representing our constituents, that if this is important, we make the issue that when we are going through the appropriations process, that we say, no, it goes towards prevention as opposed to just going into the proverbial black hole. And we need to be the ones that make sure that the funding for the program is there in place. But in terms of any surefire way that you can tell your constituent or anyone else who's sitting out there that absolutely 100% of these funds are going to the program, I don't think we can give them that guarantee. So I think we just need to make that determination amongst ourselves that this is a priority. And when Speaker Porter introduced the therapeutic court bill last year, and the alcohol excise tax was introduced at that same time, I know that he and I kind of looked at that therapeutic court and how is it going to be funded, and boy, an increase in the alcohol excise tax would sure be one of the ways to do it. But unless we do it, unless you, the Finance Committee, actually make that happen, there's no surefire guarantee. So I don't know if that makes your constituent happy, but...
If I might just add... And I guess I wasn't looking for 100% or any surefire, but in the tobacco, it was 2%, whatever. It was, and if the thrust of this whole thing is just to raise money, then let's be honest about it. If it is to focus on alcohol treatment, then we need to have something that would get at least the majority of the money there. And I was hoping you might have a more concrete idea.
I wish I had a greater certainty as to what you can do.
Representative Davies?
Yeah, I think Representative Murkowski is trying to be bend over backwards to be very honest about the situation, but we actually can go one step further than just legislative intent. We can actually write in the statute and create a fund, the purpose of which is to support those programs that Representative Bunn is talking about. And clearly, it is a statutory dedication of funds, not a constitutional dedication of funds. And we do that in a variety of places. And it's been my experience in the legislature and my understanding of the history before I was here that The legislature very seldom violates those statutory dedications. So like in the nickel tax, for example, we could appropriate that money for any purpose we wanted under the Constitution, but we've never done that. And the same is true for every other statutory dedication of funds. It doesn't carry the constitutional limits that that process would carry. But it is the step in between. And I would and I would be one that would support the creation of a subfund in the general fund for treatment programs and the dedication statutorily of any revenues that came from a bill like this for that purpose. So I think it, we have to be brutally honest with everybody. There are no guarantees in this life. But it is a kind of a moral fence, if you will, that gets built around it. And it has, in the past, been a fairly effective fence. So I think I offer that as a suggestion and just put on the table that I would support that kind of a amendment to the bill.
Okay. Before we get too far along here, we do have one gentleman that had to get back to work, and I'd like to take him right now and then go into talking with the Department of Revenue. Mr. Lee Chipman, would you like to come forward?
Thank you. Good afternoon. As you say, my name is Lee Chipman. I'm the general manager of the Hilton Anchorage, and I'm here representing the major hotels in the downtown Anchorage area. And I'd like to finally pass a letter around that was signed by the major hotels in the downtown Anchorage area, and I'd like to take a minute just to read it to you. I'll wait until it gets around to you. Dear legislators, as general managers of the major hotels in Anchorage, we would like to go on record opposing any increase in the alcohol tax. The world is a different place since September 11th, and the hospitality world is different in a major negative way since September 11th. Airline travel is down. Hotel bookings are down. Several conventions scheduled for Anchorage in September were canceled, most of them the Council of State Governments, which all of you would have attended. Tourism bookings for the next season are down considerably. People are eating out less in restaurants. We could go on and on with specific examples, but at this point it's hard to find a positive indicator in our industry. The last thing the hospitality industry needs at this point in time is a tax that will not add any value to our industry. It would be one more negative factor piled onto a slew of other negative factors that we don't need at this particular time. As public policymakers, we need your positive help to rebuild our industry in Alaska. We don't need what we don't need, and we strongly oppose the addition of one more negative factor for our industry at this time. And we'd like to thank you for your consideration.
Any questions? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
We have the Department of Revenue here to just break down how money is collected or whatever.
For the record, I'm Larry Persley, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Revenue, and I'd like to quickly just run down how the tax works in Alaska, how it's collected, some history of it. In Alaska, alcohol taxes are collected at the wholesale level, not at the retailer. If it's a bonded warehouse, one that posts a bond to guarantee the tax, we tax the goods when they're sold or leave the warehouse. If it's a non-bonded warehouse, we tax the goods when they're imported or sold into Alaska. The tax rates are $5.60 a gallon for hard liquor. If you figure 1 ounce a shot, that's 4.4 cents per drink. If it's an ounce and a half, it's 6.6 cents a drink. That $5.60 a gallon for hard liquor in Alaska compares to the national average of state taxes, where it's $3.30. The federal tax is $13.50 a gallon. At 85 cents a gallon for wine, if you have a 6 ounce glass of wine, that works out to about 4 cents a glass in state tax. At 85 cents a gallon, Alaska is above the national average at 60 cents. The federal tax is $1.07. 35 cents a gallon is the state tax on beer. If you figure a 12 ounce can or a bottle, that's about 3.5 cents. The national average is 19 cents a gallon. Federal tax is 58 cents. So the state portion of the tax is between 3.5 and 4.5 cents a drink. Alaska first imposed a beer and wine tax in 1933. Hard liquor tax followed in 1937. The last increase in any of the three taxes came in 1983. It's been 18 years. Before that, beer had been unchanged since 1957. Wine and hard liquor had been unchanged since 1961 until they all changed in 1983. One thing that's interesting to note in looking through the records, the tourism states of Florida and Hawaii have among the highest alcohol tax rates in the nation. I'm not sure if that's a conscious move on their part to tax visitors or if it just worked out that way. There are not many taxpayers in Alaska since, again, it's at the wholesale rate, not at the retail. Last year we had 339 tax returns, but those are filed monthly. They're running less than 30 tax returns per month. In the last few years, alcohol tax collections have fluctuated between 12 and 12.3 million in Alaska. In the last fiscal year, 2001, that ended June 30, that breaks down to $4.7 million in state tax on 14 million gallons of beer, $6.1 million on 1.1 million gallons of hard liquor, and $1.2 million on 1.4 million gallons of wine. As far as enforcement and collection activities, we have the equivalent of one half-time position working on the alcohol tax program. We did not audit any returns last year, and enforcement is minimal. That half-time person mostly processes the returns. If the alcohol tax is increased, we would expect some stockpiling by retailers and consumers at the lower rate. This is what we saw before the dollar a pack cigarette tax went into effect a few years ago. With stockpiling, your tax revenues actually would probably drop immediately after the effective date of the tax increase as people drank up their stockpiles, and then your tax eventually revenue would eventually recover and show an increase. As House Bill 225 is proposed, it could generate as much as $34 million or so a year in additional revenue if the higher tax did not cause a drop in consumption. Obviously, that depends on how the tax is passed down to the ultimate consumer and how price-sensitive people are in buying alcoholic beverages. We believe there would be some drop in consumption, but it's I wouldn't even call it educated guesswork. It's just guesswork as to how much. Our fiscal note shows, because we like to estimate cautiously, that it might be $30 million a year rather than $34, assuming there's some drop in consumption, but we couldn't guarantee that. That's just a guess. One other issue on our fiscal note, we ask for one full-time enforcement position if you increase alcohol tax. We believe that if you increase it, you would likely see an increase in individuals who order by mail, internet, or phone and have alcohol, beer, wine shipped in for personal consumption. Right now, that is not subject to tax in Alaska. You can go on the internet and order wine from a winery in California and have it sent in. If you raise the tax and that kind of conduct increases, you might want to consider changing the law so that the tax is payable on any alcoholic beverages brought into the state, whether by wholesaler, distributor, or an individual. And if you did that, we feel that we would need one position to enforce that, but that one position would likely generate more than the salary in additional revenue. That's the short version of alcohol tax.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hudson.
Larry, I'm assuming that the federal tax rate is uniform across all the states, regardless of what the state rates might be.
Right. Just like motor fuel, the two get piled on.
For the record, we've been joined by Representative Hudson, Mulder, and Representative Stevens. Representative Harris?
Larry, you make a good point, and a lot of good points, but one that drew my attention that certainly seems to be part of the crux of this whole issue is, you said you didn't feel there'd be a drop in consumption.
I'm not sure how much of a drop.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just your opinion, obviously, and it's probably not backed up by.
No,
we don't know at this point.
Right.
There are a couple of different schools of thought on this whole issue. One is, are we trying to raise revenue, as Representative Bundy said or mentioned, or are we trying to curb the use or the misuse of alcohol that causes a lot of accidents and deaths and whatever, amongst other things. Violence, that whole thing. If we don't have a noticeable drop in consumption because of an increase in tax, are we really getting to the root problem that we have? I don't know. I mean, that seems to me like an issue that we ought to be thinking about here. If we're not going to curb our domestic violence, alcoholism, drunk driving, that sort of thing, by increasing the tax, are we just doing it as a revenue source, and is this the best way to increase revenue for the state.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Harris, certainly that's a policy call. With the tobacco tax, cigarette tax, it more than tripled to a dollar a pack, and it did drive down consumption. certainly the Department of Revenue likes collecting taxes, so as much as you want to raise any of them, we'd be happy to go out again. And if you tax it enough, whether it's motor fuel, alcohol, cigarettes, you will affect consumption.
Sure.
Any other questions, Representative Lundy?
Yeah, did I hear correctly that the federal tax was $13 a gallon on hard liquor?
$13.50 a gallon on hard liquor.
Add that to the current Alaska tax, that makes it $18.60 per gallon.
$19.10, yeah. So with state and federal tax combined, it's about $0.15 a grain, or a little bit more than $0.15 a grain, with the state and federal tax portion on a hard liquor 1 ounce shot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Larry, has your office done anything with regards to looking at consumption per capita compared to other states, along with the taxes you collect?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Halko, no, but we certainly could gather some of those statistics. If they're not available, people want to know.
Mr. Chairman? I'm sorry, I had another question.
When we were doing the tobacco tax thing, we looked at what had happened in a number of other states, notably New York. Are there any other states that have had a similar percentage increase in the alcohol tax that we could use as a model as to what might happen in Alaska?
Representative Bundy, not that I'm aware of. There have been recent increases, but not of good size. But we can check on that and get back to the committee.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Again, hopefully we keep the public comments as short as possible. If you have anything new to add, that's fine. We are going to go till 3 o'clock. I'd like to start with the off-sites. And I'll take one from each site until we get to 3 o'clock, whatever that is, whatever happens first. We'll start with my favorite place. Could you guess where that is? Ketchikan. We have one person in Ketchikan.
My name is John Nixon. I'm Passworthy president and president of Social Club Manager for the Sternal Order of the Eagles, 162 here in Ketchikan. And I would like to point out a couple things about social clubs. We are supported only by our members. Our liquor license is a private liquor license. Therefore, we do not deal with the general public. Our club is supported by our members. We have about 250 on the men's side and 175 on the women's side. Over the past 5 years, our club has struggled with the economic situations here in Ketchikan, and whether this straw will break the camel's back, we can't really say, but it would be real sad to see a fraternal organization that has been contributing thousands of dollars in charitable donations to this community go by the wayside. We just got through celebrating our 100th anniversary here in Ketchikan, which is a lot of dollars into the community. For your information, we donate better than $20,000 every year to local charities. These charities run the mill from cancer, kidney, plus we support several youth organizations here. These are all going to go by the wayside if we go down. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Next we'll go to Juno. Judy McDonald, I think. Judy? Anybody in Juneau that care to testify?
I'm Judy McDonald, and I have a small bar here in Juneau. This particular tax, the way it's set up now, would absolutely be devastating to my business. I only have 3 employees and myself. If this goes, I probably will lay off and have 2 employees myself. Some of my employees have been with me over 15 years. Since the September 11th tragedy, we've all watched our businesses take a nosedive now, and I'm not blaming anybody or anything, but right now, the way it looks, I'm cutting back on hours myself. If this comes in, it's just going to be, I'm not sure exactly what the final outcome will be, but I know it'll be quite a loss for us. I understand that the state needs to balance their budget, but I also think that they should look at all sources, not just the liquor industry. I mean, this is only one industry that is going to be increased in this amount. So if we can look to other sources and everybody work together, I think we could come to some solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Representative Bundy has a question.
Yes, thank you. We had had earlier testimony where people weren't sure how much it would reduce consumption, and apparently you feel it would reduce it enough to seriously impact your business. And you hit a real key point. Is this just a way to raise money? And if so, would we be better served by raising it on a broader basis? And if we had, I don't know, a 5% statewide sales tax instead of the alcohol tax, would that impact your business also?
That probably would impact it also, but not as much as this tax would be.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next we'll go to Homer, Sandy Baker.
Hi, Sandy Barker, representing the Salty Dog Saloon. As a business person in the hospitality industry, I realize that some taxes are necessary, but I feel we're being singled out as an easy target for an enormous tax increase on an already overtaxed industry. A 300% or more tax increase is unreasonable, discriminatory, and will do little to help with the state's alcohol problems. I'm very concerned with the already dramatic slowdown in our country's current economy and feel that the hospitality industry will suffer even more as fewer Americans travel and dine out. I believe House Bill 225 can only help to worsen this current economic situation in our industry. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next we'll go to Kenai, Crystal Schoenrock.
Yes, I'm Crystal Schoenrock, and I own an operation at Portland's Bar in Nikiski. And I feel the same, that I don't believe that this tax will help anything, and it will slow my business down also, and I'm just a small one. But the deal on the DWIs and everything are more like repeated offenders. You read it in the paper all the time. So I feel that this Bill 225 is really outrageous. I don't think that we should have to have that kind of a tax. I know maybe a small one, but 300% is unreal.
Thank you. Crystal, go to Kodiak. Bobby Hutcherson.
Yes, my name is Bobby Hutcherson. I'm a bartender and have been for many years. I'm also a single parent, and I depend on not just my job to support my family, but also the tips left by the customers. If this tax goes through, it's going to affect the number of hours I'm forced to work to make the same amount of money, which will also displace fellow workers. They're going to have to cut back employees so at least one of us working these shifts can make enough money to support our families. I'm not against an increase in the tax, but I agree with the lady from Kenai that says that 300% is it's too much. I don't think taxation is going to be the answer. I think education is the answer, and there must be other places that the state can gather its funds besides just from one single entity in this industry. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we'll go to Fairbanks, Mr. Jeff Carter.
Yes, my name is Jeff Carter. I'm the branch manager of K&L Distributors here in Fairbanks. I'm concerned for this tax for a lot of reasons. I'm looking at these numbers in front of me right here and trying to justify in my mind why we need six times the national average to educate people on alcohol and awareness. My organization and myself dedicate a lot of money every year to consumer awareness education, and I don't understand the per gallon that we need to be six times the national average and three times the highest in the country. I'm sure they're seeing the same problems in drinking, and I'm sure they're dealing with them. But do we need that much money, and does it need to all come from this to do that? I mean, that's where we're saying this money is going to go to. I feel that this tax is it's going to seriously affect our economy. The hospitality industry is currently seeing declines right now due to September 11th and the anthrax and everything else that's going on in the world and the fact that we're at war. Fewer people are traveling, entertaining, and dining outside their homes. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll come here to Anchorage. If I could find somebody that is talk like the rest of these guys, that is against it, and the next round I start will be the people that are for the bill.
I'm for the tax.
How could I get someone that's...
Someone's already spoken, the man
who
had to leave.
Okay, we'll start with the...
I guess he's still here, but he's the one
okay.
That testified earlier.
All right.
My name is James Crary. I'm a former municipal prosecutor. When I was a prosecutor, 85% of what I did was alcohol-related. That's when I started to see the problems that alcohol causes, not only in Anchorage, but in the state. I'd like to, first of all, say that I think it's totally wrong to try to tie this increase in tax to what happened on September 11th. That really irritates me, because what happened in New York has nothing to do with this. The people that died shouldn't be tied to this. There's too many people already dying from alcohol abuse, and I sent around copies of articles that I cut out of the Anchorage Daily News just from October 4th, and I didn't get all of them because I was out of town for 10 days, so this is not all of the ones. But it's replete with alcohol abuse and what it causes injuries to people in this state. People dying from car accidents, people getting shot to death, children being sexually abused, the pipeline being shot, that was done by someone that was intoxicated, that's costing millions of dollars to clean up. So there's plenty of problems with alcohol abuse. As far as Representative Harris, you had a question about whether or not it will decrease consumption. The answer is yes. Why do you think all the alcohol people are here today? If it didn't decrease consumption, they wouldn't care. The best evidence that it's going to decrease consumption is the fact that all these people are crying that it's going to drive them out of business. They don't have any studies to prove that. It's all kind of chicken loose that cries in the fall if it happens. But trust me, there is elasticity, and there will be a decrease. And when you sell millions of dollars of product, even a 1% or 2% decrease is going to have an effect of millions of dollars. They don't want that. It's interesting that we're here in October because October is drug-free month in the schools. Alcohol is a drug. People say alcohol and drugs. It's alcohol and other drugs. Alcohol affects your judgment, it affects your memory, your coordination, and that's where the problems arise. Representative Bundy had something about, you know, where do we fit into the national average? Only two states in the United States can do what we can do. That's Alaska and Hawaii, because all the other states have other states on their borders. And if one state were to step out and actually tax alcohol where it should be, we're going to lose business to the border states. Alaska and Hawaii don't have that problem. We're talking about 10 cents a drink. And actually, I'd like to see it 15 cents a drink, because that would raise $50 million. But 10 cents or 15 cents a drink, whatever it is, you're going to have people that are, they're not going to be running to the Yukon to get their alcohol. It's going to stay in the state. It's not going to cost an additional penny. Everything that you raise is going to be cream because someone is already collecting the tax right now. And it's all, and all the person is going to do is collect a little bit more tax. We're talking 15 cents a drink. A moderate drinker, and this comes not from me, but from the American Medical Association, a moderate drinker for a man is two drinks a day. Do you think anyone is not going to have two drinks a day? Any moderate drinker is not going to have two drinks a day if they have to pay an extra dime? That's 20 cents. If you go into a bar, you're paying $4 a drink. Do you think another dime is going to stop you from having two if you want? No, and it shouldn't. Where this is going to have an impact is the 15 to 20% of the people that drink 75 or 80% of the alcohol. Those are the people, the heavy drinkers, they are the ones that are going to be adversely affected. That's where you're going to have an impact. That's where you're going to stop having all of the problems with drunk drivers, domestic violence. They did a study in Anchorage over 10 years, and it was 48% of the domestic violence was related to alcohol. How many kids are being not going to school or going to school with problems because their parents at home have this domestic violence going on? It affects the whole part of society. My request to you, and I'll cut it off, but my request would be two. One, that you pass this out of committee quickly and allow it to go forward, and that you do it at 15 cents a drink rather than 10 cents a drink. It's been 18 years. 1983 was the last time we've had an increase. And it's time for an increase, and it should be a meaningful and substantial increase. Thank you.
Representative Hudson.
One quick question. Since you've been in the business for a long period of time, where would we best use the additional income to be raised by this tax in order to eliminate the problems of society, in your judgment?
My judgment, I would put more police on the street. But that, we have in Anchorage over Christmas, it's called Drunk Busters, and it's all advertised. The best defense, as far as I'm concerned, is to put a blue and white on the street. I would love to see more troopers in the bush. I think that's, you know, the people in the bush are getting the short end of the stick. But I would like to see presence on the street. We can pass laws till the cows come home, but if you don't have enforcement and the people realize that, you know, what's the chance of getting caught for drunk driving if there's not enough police on the street? That's where I would put it.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Rickland Harris.
A little rebuttal to that. You know, and I think you know the statistic, we have more people incarcerated in the state of Alaska than any other state in the nation per capita. So we are catching more people than ever before. That's not the answer. The answer is, how do you educate people to the effects of habitual drinkers? And you mentioned the point that 80%,
right,
or 20% to 80% of the drinking type of a thing. How do we get that? And you mentioned the bush. I'm the chairman of the Finance Committee on Health and Social Services. We have tremendous problems in rural Alaska. Not that we don't have an urban Alaska, but we have an urban Alaska, or rural Alaska, with huffing, with inhalants, with all kinds of things. If they can't get alcohol, they'll get something.
I agree.
And so I don't disagree with you. We need more enforcement in rural Alaska, but we also need more education. We need people to understand and peer groups to come forward and say, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. And I'm not sure that taxing is the answer,
education costs money. Where's the money going to come from? In a couple of years, we're looking at a $600 million budget deficit in this state when the Constitutional Budget Reserve runs out. Another $50 million.
Years. How about right now?
Well, okay. Okay, but if you did 15 cents a drink increase, that would be $50 million. Some of that can go towards law enforcement. Some of it can go towards education. You made an interesting point. A lot of people in jail. About 80% of those people are in jail because of alcohol-related crime.
Alcohol and other drugs.
That's right. No. But alcohol is far and away the number one drug. And there are other drugs, and I'm not going to dismiss that. But alcohol is far and away the worst abused drug in this state.
I'll disagree.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're
next, we'll go back to Ketchikan. And again, I'd like to hear from the people that are for the bill at this round. Anybody in Ketchikan that's for the bill?
One guy just already did a whole bunch of that.
Representative Williams, if you could wait for just a second here.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead,
yeah. I'm Bill White, pastor of the Ketchikan Church of God and president of the Ketchikan Ministerial Association.
And I'm Pastor Stan Berenson, pastor of First Lutheran Church, one of the pastors of First Lutheran Church here in Ketchikan. And our old guy from Juneau has been here advising us on the status of the alcohol excise tax rates. I also have with us Reverend Susan Knight from First United Methodist Church, Pastor Holly Gunby, also from First Lutheran Church, Father Gary Herbst from St. John's Episcopal Church.
Pastor Bill White again. We support a substantial increase of the alcohol user excise tax rates of no less than 10%, and we are of 10 cents drink, and we are serious about our support for this bill.
Okay. Is that all there is right now? We'll take
one.
Representative Bundy has a question for you.
I'm just curious about your support. Is your support more based on prohibition and wanting to keep people from drinking, or is it about raising money?
Both. We feel that the cost to the state, to the people, because of the alcohol, far exceeds the revenue that's coming in now. And also, we work continue with the people whose broken lives are due to the alcohol problem, especially young people.
And also very conscious of the effect that it will have on consumption in general.
But you understand, if consumption goes down, then you're going to get less tax.
Understanding.
Understand it.
And possibly less cost to police and to rehabilitate people who are affected by it.
We've had testimony that 20% of the abusers, there are 20% of the drinkers, and So if the non-abusers go away and you make less money, they're not creating more problems for you, but you're getting less money to deal with the problem.
I believe it, in the long run, it would equal out. It's a place to start anyway, and I feel that this is a good bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is Stan Behrens again. That last scenario you laid out is I hear that as a beautiful possibility.
Thank you.
Perhaps tax
insurance property. We'll go to Juneau. Is there someone in Juneau that is for House Bill 225?
Yes, sir. She's coming to the table. My name is Cindy Cashin.
Hi, Cindy.
I'm a volunteer with Mothers Against Drunk Driving. I'm a victim of drunk driving. I'm here today on behalf of the MAD Juneau Chapter's Board of Directors in support of increasing the excise tax on alcoholic beverages by at least 10 cents per drink. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Homer, do we have anybody in Homer that's for the bill, for the tax increase?
Homer, the four testifiers left here in Homer will have to pass on supporting the bill. Thank you.
All right. There isn't anybody in Kenai.
That's what you asked.
There's Kodiak. Is anybody in Fairbanks that is for the bill?
There is nobody here in Fairbanks that has signed up to support the bill.
Okay.
They're still here, though, that
all right.
Speak on it.
Yeah. We'll start here in Anchorage at against the bill. Anybody here? Mike Sig Savage, I guess. That's against the bill.
My name is Mike Savage, and I'm an employee of Brown Hemp Company. I have worked for them since 1996 in the retail stores, and I recently began working in the warehouse. So my perspective is that of a blue-collar grunt in this industry. Any worker like myself understands that his or her wages and benefits depend on his company's viability. This very unfair and disproportionate tax will adversely affect my job security and that of thousands of others who are employed in a similar capacity. Please do not single out this industry for whatever reason and treat it as a golden goose or a scapegoat. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll go back to Ketchikan. Marge Hobart, are you for the bill? Or against the bill, I should say. Hi, Marge.
Hi, Bill. How are you today?
Just fine.
Just good. Well, my name is Marge Hobart, and I want to say I was born and raised in Ketchikan. I've been around the alcohol pretty much all my life. Could probably go on and on about all this, but I just want to say that I first went to work at the Sourdough Bar in 1959. I am a single parent and raised two children in Ketchikan. I need my job, and I enjoy it very much. I will soon be 60 years old and too old to look for another job, or do I want to? I believe a tax of this magnitude on alcohol will hurt my livelihood. It may be time to tax our industry, but 600% is totally unreasonable, and I think will hurt more than anything else. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marge. Next, we'll go to Juneau.
My name is Butch Tangney, and I'm an instructor for the State Certified Techniques of Alcohol Management class and an employee of the Odom Corporation in Juneau. You know, it seems like Alaska is at the top or bottom of a lot of statistical listings. Take the largest state with the youngest and smallest population and throw in a few million tourists and some very isolated communities, and you've got some factors that tend to skew most any statistic about our state. The proponents of House Bill 225 have given a lot of statistics about alcohol in Alaska. They might not mention that Alaska already spends more per capita on alcohol treatment than any other state. I'm sure there are a lot of factors that influence that ranking. Burden it with a 300% tax increase is certainly inappropriate and unfair. Probably it's destructive and devastating for the hospitality industry. as many communities have been forced to move from resource-based businesses to tourist-based businesses, the hospitality industry has become a strong factor in the state's economy. With the competitive seasonal market and the tax blow of this nature could cause closure or layoffs in many businesses. I wanted to mention about people who showed up in being against this bill as worried about a decrease in the consumption of alcohol. Most of the folks are small business owners and on-premise people where, in fact, a beer does cost a little more than at the big chain stores or at the larger areas of our state. And that is why they are most concerned about these. If alcohol is a price-sensitive item, which anything in a down economy would be, then those small businesses and those independent Alaskans are going to be the first to be affected by this. Now, since the events of September 11th, we have also had other crushing blows to the hospitality industry. Cancellations in airline travel, visitor and convention activities, and other business activities threaten the hospitality business with layoffs and closures. What the future holds is still uncertain. It is certain that this unprecedented tax will make it difficult. The hospitality industry recognizes the need for some sound fiscal policy and remains committed to the contribution they could make to a broad-based revenue program. To target this section of our economy with such a tax would certainly have many negative results. Thank you.
Thank you, Butch. Next, we'll go to Homer. Leonard Wells.
Leonard Wells is going to pass
okay.
For someone who hasn't testified before. Thank you.
Okay. Karen Berger.
We're going to keep going down to Mel Stratum. How about that?
That sounds good.
Okay, thank you. This is Mel Stratum, and I'm the finance manager for Patel Enterprises Incorporated. We're a retail liquor business here in Homer. And first of all, I'd like to thank the members of the House Finance Committee for their efforts towards finding productive and efficient ways to fund the state budget and taking time to listen to my ideas on the subject as well as those of other citizens of our state. While I agree that taxes are the best solution to raising more revenues, the tax proposed in Bill 225, targeting only the beverage alcohol industry, will place an undue burden on an industry that already pays a substantial tax, with Alaska currently having one of the highest alcohol taxes in the nation. I can think of no reason why the beverage alcohol industry should be singled out to carry such a heavy burden, and I strongly recommend that House Bill 225 be rejected. I would like to suggest that the House Finance Committee take a serious look at a state sales tax as a vehicle for raising additional revenues. This sales tax should be structured so that each resident of our state receives a rebate on sales taxes paid on the first $10,000 of their purchases each year. This rebate could be distributed in a manner similar to or in conjunction with the permanent fund dividend. A sales tax with a rebate is a progressive tax that spreads the burden fairly among residents, seasonal workers, and tourists. It is a tax that places the highest burden on those that consume the most, and I might add, it is a much better tax than an income tax, which would burden the most productive people in our state. Let's put a tax structure in place that does nothing to hinder and discourage productivity, but rather taxes those that consume in excess. We need to find a fair and reliable revenue source for our state, and a sales tax with a rebate will do that. House Bill 225 will not. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we'll go to Fairbanks. Mr. Larry
Heckenmiller.
Heckenmiller, yeah.
I speak against this bill, and I also don't feel that there's a compromise necessary. I think that was attempted at once, and quite frankly, I think my intelligence was insulted because it was laughed at. And it showed that we did, as an industry, come to you and discuss the issue with regards to the tax, and that that number apparently wasn't good enough, so we just keep going back to the table till you get whatever you want. Now, the hot concept here, having a tax right now, in light of the fact that 911 occurred, is now more relevant before. If you think that the incident in New York City is isolated to New York, then I think we need a reality check. First of all, Alaska Senator Ted Stevens was on the air the other day, and I hope you all heard it. He basically talked about what's going to happen to some of these grants they have going to the bush with regards to specifically the water and sewer systems they're going to be putting in there. That money is not going to happen, and that was grant money that was promised already. And he indicated that, in essence, somebody has to pay for this war, so you're not going to see what the news called pork barrel projects. And in this fiscal year alone, Senator Stevens had $129 million given to Alaska in grant money. 69 of that went to basically urban or rural areas for alcohol treatment programs or education programs for Native organizations. That money's not going to be there, folks. So we're talking about a long-range fiscal problem. Who's going to replace that? What kind of tax are we going to need to raise? $30 million, $50 million isn't going to be enough to handle any of this stuff. And this is a reality check. We are at war. This is actually happening. And right now, this thing is the most ridiculous thing I can see because of this issue, because of the 911 incident. That money's going to disappear. We're going to have unemployment. All those people that, would be building these water sewer projects, the contractors, the workers, they're not going to be doing it. They're not going to be making a living in Alaska. The social workers that are now involved in all the alcohol treatment programs we have already that are grant-funded, they're going to disappear. You're going to talk about a large area of unemployment here. And this is going to happen shortly because this war is not going to be an incident isolated in New York City. This is going to be nationwide. We are at war. And, you know, being a former veteran, I know what that means. And there's a lot of people sitting here today that probably don't and have no concept of it. It's a reality. Let's wake up. And also with regards to the user fee concept, you know, a majority of this revenue, if this tax passes, is going to come from urban areas. That majority of it's going to be spent for rural problems, and rural problems, alcohol problems, they don't pay any taxes. So you're basically taking out of Fairbanks, you'll be taking money out of my economy, money that I could give to my local needs, to my local community, my nonprofit groups, or, you know, the needs that we have in our local community, and putting it someplace else. It's like, take our money out of our community, so it don't circulate in town, and send it down to Juneau and let them figure out where to spend it. And that's all I need is for someone else to determine that I shouldn't give it to the Monroe High School or the Boy Scouts. Let them to figure out where to put it. That concept there is ludicrous as well. With regards to a statute saying, well, we're going to dedicate this fund, we can't dedicate it because of constitutional restraints, you know, and it was stated earlier that you had a way you could do by statute where you could assure that the money would at least be targeted for specific purposes. I recommend that if that's the case, and why don't you do it this way? Why don't you go ahead and use that same statute and say, if we collect $30 million in alcohol taxes, then all you can spend is $30 million in alcohol taxes on alcohol problems. There's a question of the legality of it. This is a selective tax. You're basically saying that persons who drink responsibly, who pay, if you drink more, you pay more. You're saying those responsible drinkers are, we have to take something from you. We're not getting due process here. You're saying I'm guilty of something, yet I've broken any laws. Normally you'd have to go to court before you could take something from me, a value from me. So I think it's a question of whether this thing is under equal protection, even on the user fees. If you're going to consider it a user fee, and there's been testimony even from the sponsor in writing basically saying that, you know, it's a user thing. If you don't drink any, you don't have to pay any taxes. If you drink a lot, you pay a lot. So if that's the case, then I think it has to be applied across the board. If you use the bike paths, you should have to pay for them. If you you have kids in school, only you should have to pay for them. If you don't have kids in school, you shouldn't have to. So 911 is definitely a factor here, and we had better wake up. And this tax is not going to solve our fiscal problem. We're going to have to come up with something a little more realistic with regards to how Alaska is going to substitute revenues if we do it all.
You wrap it, Larry?
Yeah, is it more important basically to provide our armed forces with the means that they have to seek justice for what they've done to us, or should we have to worry about some other program in town? What's more important, to make sure we can protect our country or take care of some internal problems that are going to happen in society anyway? Thank you.
Thank you. We'll come back to Anchorage. If we could get someone for...
Yes. My name is Laura Sarcone, and I'm here today representing the Alaska Nurses Association. I'll keep my comments brief. Nurses, as a group of healthcare providers, see the adverse impacts of alcohol on a daily basis, from the nursery to the emergency room. We see infants with fetal alcohol syndrome. We see women that have been abused by their drug partners. We see the victims of traumatic victims of drunk drivers. We would like to support this bill. We would support some mechanism that would allow for dedication of the funds generated by this bill to address the problem, that would pay for the services that these individuals require, and perhaps also for education about responsible consumption. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we'll go to Ketchikan. Is anyone for Linda Adams?
Hi, my name is Linda Adams, and I've been involved in alcohol and other drug prevention issues for the last 20 years, from being on a national board to the governor's board on alcoholism and drug abuse, as well as the retired executive director of Alaskans for Drug Free Youth. Presently, I'm on the Ketchikan General Hospital's Recovery Center Advisory Board and Alaskans for Drug Free Youth Board. I'm here today to say that we support a substantial increase in the 1983 alcohol user excise tax of at least 10 cents a drink, and we are serious about this piece of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Representative Wendy has a question.
Thank you. You have you have experience in treatment program, and I have a question that keeps going around my mind, and I haven't been able to get able to come to conclusion with, and maybe you can help me. The abuser, the serious abuser, the alcoholic, they're basically addicted, and in your experience in the treatment arena, are they price-sensitive people at all? If they're addicted, does the price of the alcohol matter to them?
Well, my experience is really in the prevention field, and but I know that prevention, intervention, and treatment all work together, and that's the focus of this piece of legislation.
Okay, thank you.
For the record, we have Senator Elton here also. Welcome. We'll go back to Juneau. Is anyone for the bill? Juneau?
There are still people waiting to testify against the bill, but not for the bill.
Okay. Anyone? Doesn't look like anyone in Homer is for the bill. Or how about Anchorage? Is anyone, or Fairbanks, is anyone for the bill? I know we tried to keep this as short as, or when Lisa and I got together, tried to keep our people down from coming down or from coming here to
good job
this morning.
No, there was no one here that wishes to speak for the bill.
Okay. I'd like to say again, you know, we've heard this story over and over, and I think we all know where we're at. I guess I could, I'll come back here to Anchorage again, and is anyone for it?
Thank you, Representative Williams. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jeff Jesse from the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, and I've not had the privilege of attending a hearing on this bill before. The trust has been starting to get a little more interested in gathering some information on this subject, and I'm pleased to be able to be here today. You hear a lot of talk about the devastating effects that this will have on industry. And I certainly think that's a concern. We want people to have jobs. But there are other ways to create jobs than people serving liquor or being in the liquor industry. One of the things that we're experiencing right now is the cost of health care in the nonprofit sector is increasing in some cases by 40 to 50%. There are going to be layoffs in many, many of our programs that provide treatment to people who have substance abuse problems, primarily alcohol abuse. Those people are losing jobs now as we speak. If we found a way to take the revenue from this tax and get it into treatment, that will create jobs. That will create more workers because we will have fewer people addicted to this insidious substance. Every year the trust sits down with Representative Harris and we go through how to deal with getting some kind of a reasonable health and social services budget given the cap that he's having to work with and the financial situation of the state. And the conversations we have are always very similar. If this is a priority and we want to fund this, where is it going to come from? What are we not going to do that we want to do? We've had a very good relationship in working together on these things, and I think we've worked together to fashion some good bill. But the problem is there's another way to solve the problem. If we can't just find another thing to cut, we need to generate some additional revenue. We do, in fact, in this state, have a way to dedicate funds to a particular purpose. It's called the legislature. The legislature is totally empowered to take funds, not earmarked from a particular source, but you can appropriate funds to the services that you feel are important and necessary to the health and welfare of this state. I think there are some others. Some ideas have been mentioned about how we might get some funds directed towards treatment programs, prevention programs, and even law enforcement. Well, I'll offer another suggestion. As you all know, in the Mental Health Trust Settlement, if the trustees of the Mental Health Trust propose to the legislature how it should spend general funds, and the legislature chooses not to spend those funds in that way, the legislature as a body must prepare and submit a report to the trustees and explain why not. We would be willing to convene a group of folks from many different stakeholder groups, including the legislature, people that are responsible for funding in these areas that need to be funded, and put together a package that we could take to the trustees and have them recommend that to the legislature. Representative Bundy, this isn't a guarantee, but I think combined with some of the other strategies that have been mentioned, legislative intent, the requirement that the legislature then write a report explaining why they will not spend these revenues for treatment, prevention services, I think we'll get closer to being able to come up with a package that we can support. There are many other things I could say about some of the comments that I've heard. I will correct one thing. Somebody said that this tax would be 300% higher than the highest tax. No, in fact, in some cases, it's the opposite. Hawaii's tax right now on beer is 300% of Alaska. 300% of Alaska. And we still have one of the most devastating alcohol programs or problems in the country. And if I might just conclude by changing hats for one moment and putting on my hat as regional vice president for the state PTA Board of Managers. At our issue conference coming up, we will be discussing several priorities for the state PTA with a membership of about 15,000 individuals. We have gotten suggestions from many of our local PTA units, and this subject is coming up more and more every year. And this year it is one of the final five priorities that will be considered by the state PTA issues conference in another week. And I think there's a very good likelihood that the state PTA will be in support any effort possible to see that alcohol abuse is limited to our children, because that's one of the major factors in some of their problems in school and elsewhere. Thank you, Mr.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Jeff. Certainly I understand, and we've had conversations, too, about how to find the money to serve your constituency. And any kind of tax would produce revenues that could be considered for that, and that's part of another discussion that's going on in Alaska as well. But I'd like to ask you the question that I didn't get an answer to earlier. With your constituency, how price sensitive are they? I mean, I understand the revenue raising issue, but I'm having a hard time getting my head around the prohibition issue or the reduction in use. It appears that at least at this point, that the hardcore abusers are not very price sensitive to me, but am I incorrect in that?
Well, Representative Bundy, through the chair, no, I think you make an important point. Addiction, particularly alcohol addiction, is very powerful. And there's no question that when you go out in the bush and you look at what people are willing to pay a bootlegger for a fifth of vodka, I mean, it could go for $50, $75, $100. Some of you may know of cases where it goes for more money than that. People will sell their snow machines, everything they have to buy liquor in some of these countries. So I think you're right. There is a core group of chronic alcoholics that are not particularly price-sensitive. But I will tell you that the data is very clear that treatment for those individuals, even compulsory treatment, works. Not 100% of the time, but it works. We have data that will show that those treatment programs will recover some of those individuals. Now, I think there are other people that are price sensitive. One of the interesting things about this tax proposal is that it increases the tax, it increases the cost of each unit of alcohol by the same amount regardless of the base price. What I mean by that is fifth of wild turkey will go up the same amount as a fifth of shellfish. And so when you look at what people are drinking, like teenagers that are going out to get drunk, they're after volume. So they want the best bang for their buck. And I think one thing that you'll see is Thunderbird and some of the cheap high alcohol beers that you see consumed a lot, they will incrementally go up more of their base price than the more expensive liquors that other people drink.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Helfer.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Jeff, let me ask you, one of the proposed, in addition to the PTA's wanting to increase the tax, isn't part of that, isn't that part of that resolution that they want that money specifically to go towards treatment and education programs? I mean, I thought I read something about they were concerned about both tobacco and alcohol monies going into other things other than treatment and education.
Yes, I think that is a concern, Representative Howell, through the chair. Now, remember, the state PTA has not officially taken a position on this. The Anchorage Council of PTAs has on behalf of the PTAs in Anchorage, and many local units have. But that is part of the Anchorage Council's resolution, is that these funds should go to at least a significant portion of them, should go to provide education and treatment programs. Yeah.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Chairman. Jesse, you have many clients across the state of Alaska, and I remember clearly when we negotiated the settlement to set up the trust. What percentage of your client base, the total client base, would you say is a part of that client base because of either excessive use themselves or parental excessive use of alcohol of your client base?
Well, Representative Hudson, through the chair, first of all, I have to say that when you add the second part, which is through alcohol abuse of their parents or
fetal alcohol,
then the number gets to be pretty substantial. I would say of all of our beneficiaries, you start out by saying, well, you've got the chronic alcoholics. You know, we often talk about our four beneficiary groups, mentally ill, people with Alzheimer's, chronic alcoholics, and people with mental retardation. Well, the chronic alcoholics are probably a good 20 to 25% of our beneficiary base. But on top of that, 90% of the people with mental illness admitted to API have a serious alcohol problem. So if you start looking at how pervasive and invasive these alcohol problems are, they go far beyond just the chronic alcoholics. It gets into mental health, which is why we're pushing the integration of mental health and substance abuse services, because they are separate things. Many people that are addicted to alcohol also have mental health problems, and vice versa. We funded a grant this last year because one area that's been overlooked is the alcohol abuse among the elderly. Incidence of depression among the elderly is very high, and they very often drink to excess. And yet that's an area that's been often overlooked in our traditional alcohol programs, focused often on the young, middle-aged male population. So it's a very substantial amount.
Representative Paris.
Yeah, just quickly, thank you, Jeff, for coming and expressing your opinion. And I think all of us probably appreciate and respect your knowledge on mental health issues amongst others. But I think you and I both know that the state already has a number of alcohol and drug programs in place in the budget already. I'm not sure that we necessarily have to have another earmarked program. We have, in the budget I have, we have two or three spots already for alcohol, both juvenile, adult, and whatever. So if it's just a matter of inserting more money into these programs so that we can do more treatment, I think that can be, that doesn't necessarily have to come through an alcohol tax, which, you know, you hear the complaint, and we all hear the complaint that it's singled out at 80% of the users who are not problem drinkers have to pay for the 20% of those that are. Viewed, I guess, as an unfair tax. And I'd like to be able, personally, I'd like to be able to find a way to put more money toward programs, alcohol, drug programs that are known to work. I think you and I both know the ones that are better than others and that are proven to work better without having to
unduly penalize an industry if they feel it. I don't know if that's the case, but that's just kind of my thought process at this point. And maybe you could comment a little bit on that and maybe elaborate just a bit on some of the existing drug, alcohol, / programs.
Yes, Representative Harris, perhaps I wasn't clear. I didn't necessarily mean to earmark a new section of the budget, but simply to have the trustees work with folks to come up with a package of services that would augment the health and social services budget in the areas that we already have, but may also affect other departments. For example, in corrections, we've worked with Representative Mulder for a number of years on corrections issues, and we still aren't able to provide treatment to all the people that got into prisons and jails because of alcohol abuse problems. And a lot of it's because we aren't able to find the revenue to do that. As long as it's zero-sum game, and we have to take from Medicaid, or we have to take from abused women's shelters or something else in order to make this go, it's going to be a problem. One of my suggestions would be is that we put a package together. I'm certainly happy to have the money come from a source other than the tax, but we're going to have to change your cap to allow some kind of a package like that to get in the department's budget. Otherwise, we're back to this zero-sum game of robbing from Peter to pay Paul, and then we'll have to put a Band-Aid on that, and it just goes on and on. I'm intrigued with this idea that it's unfair for the 80% of the drinkers, of which I am one, always in moderation, of course, have to pay for the damage caused by the 20% that drink to excess and cause problems. Well, what I don't understand is why are 100% of Alaskans, why are 100% of Alaskans asked to bear that cost, many of whom don't drink at all? At least if I decide to join the club, even in small measure, I'm going to pay part of my share. But right now, there's a study underway that's going to give you some idea of what the cost of alcohol in this state is. And if anyone thinks that if anything like the $12 million is currently raised by an alcohol tax, let's have a discussion about the real world. But that's the situation now, Representative Harris. 100% of the people in this state are paying. And we've got to put an end to that, and we have to target these 20%. I'll tell you one thing that's going on right now. We've been trying to identify these folks in Fairbanks that are chronic inebriates that cycle through that system over and over, and they end up getting held in jail for 24 hours on these Title 47 holds. And they had a program that was taking those people off of the street. And when the local community pulled their match because of the fiscal problems in Fairbanks, that problem folded. And those people are now back under the bridge across from the new hotel. I see Representative Davies validating this information. We can do something about that 20%, but we have to do it. Homeward Bound program here in Anchorage is an incredibly successful one, and it doesn't even rely on abstinence alone. Believe it or not, it believes in planned drinking. And you know what happens when you give some of these chronic alcoholics power over their drinking? They actually start to drink less. They actually start to try to get their lives together. We have programs that are successful. We can do this. But we have to get the resources of whether it comes from an alcohol tax. I don't understand the argument of it's going to devastate the hospitality industry, but it isn't going to make any difference. Well, which is it? If it's going to devastate the hospitality industry, it must be because instead of paying $4.50 for a glass of wine at Captain Cook, I'm going to pay $4.60. It has to happen there. And if there is that reduction in alcohol consumption, I just have to tell you, I don't see that as a bad thing. If that money goes into hiring people then to treat the 20% of the chronic drinkers, I'm not sure you have much of a net loss of jobs. But instead of paying people to serve the alcohol, we're paying people to stop it from causing problems in our state.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, I could kind of that argument explain why probably not beneficial just for the sake of argument. But Jeff, how much do we spend currently in our budget on the alcohol treatment programs?
Well, actually, Representative Mulder, to the chair, Representative Harris may have a better idea. I'd have to go get the numbers, but I think it's, you will correct me if I'm wrong, I think the basic alcohol grants are somewhere in the $20 million range, am I it's in the ballpark.
That's GF, the trust spending money?
Yeah.
And as well as that? Or does that include the trust money?
That would not. That's the basic grant programs. Our money would be on top of that. And depending on how you want to slice and dice it in the different beneficiary groups, probably another $4 million in the trust.
Okay, and then there's federal money on top of that that comes around the general fund.
Yes,
and around the state, and that amount, I understand, is substantial.
I believe it is, but, you know, one thing that's pretty hard to get is that information about what those federal dollars are.
Well, I know that Senator Stevens, for example, put $15 million into AFN to fight the problems of alcohol abuse last year, and it's big again in the budget this year. But suffice it to say, it's a large amount of money, between 20, 25, maybe up to somewhere between $40 and $50 million, probably. How does that compare with other states per capita?
Well, Representative Mulder, I don't know exactly how it compares to other states per capita. You heard testimony earlier today that
Alaska
may be the highest stated per capita spending on these treatment programs. I wouldn't be surprised by that if that's the case. Alaska is usually the highest per capita in a lot of things. I know that we are the highest per capita in alcohol problems. We've nailed down that position now for quite some time.
So what kind of numbers of people, if 20% of the people are causing 80% of the problem, what kind of numbers of people does that relate to?
Well, Representative Mulder, I think that's a thumbnail that people use. I don't know if that's validated in any way. We could go back and look at, well, all right, how many people are truly the chronic alcoholic drinkers that are, and not just chronic alcoholic drinkers that end up under the bridges and down by the hotels. We're talking about the folks that abuse their children, abuse their wives, or chronic DWIs. My guess is it's probably in the thousands. I don't think it's 10,000, but I'd be surprised if it was any less than 1,000. Now, I hope you will not hold me to this.
And I appreciate the candor, because what I'm getting back around to is we focus a lot of time and effort on missions and measures, and that's really what I'm getting down to is efficacy. You know, the mission of alcohol treatment programs is to try and prevent the problem. And, you know, it really questioning what have we done with the money. If we're getting $40 million in and there's less than 10,000 people who are being treated or are the real pool that need to have treatment, I mean, that's by percentage-wise or numbers-wise, that's a pretty big chunk of money per person. And yet we still have a problem. Obviously, we're not doing something right. If the existing money, if the plea is we don't have enough money, well, I guess the question comes, if we're not doing it right now with the existing money, why is more money going to make it better?
Well, Representative Mulder, through the chair, I think you know this about all programs in the state. Taking some problems to zero, no matter what the problem is, toxic waste, highway potholes, alcoholism, you never get to zero. You never get to the place where, well, gee, there's no issue about this at all. It's really what level of success, what measure of adequacy do we want to set as a state for where we want to be? And are we satisfied today that the level of the consequences of alcohol abuse are where we want it to be? If we're happy, satisfied with the measure of the pain that comes with alcohol today, then putting more money towards it isn't a very good investment. If you think we're paying too much in that respect, we do have programs that can drive those numbers down. We'll support you 100% in this. If we're going to invest any more money in these alcohol programs, we got to get a better data system.
The data system we have
is not good, I'll tell you that right now.
Better data system, and I'm not persuaded by the fact that, you know, you talk about their treatment programs that are working, and I don't doubt that there are some that aren't. But, I mean, they have a worse batting average than a baseball pitcher, you know, some. And I'm concerned about the efficacy. And if we're just going to put more money into a system, that maybe it's time to look at other alternatives before we start investing more money. I mean, I want to cure the problem, but I want to make sure it's a good investment.
Well, Representative Mulder, through the chair, I absolutely couldn't agree more that if we're going to invest more money in this, we need to sit down and a big piece of some real initiative, not just tinkering with this problem, but a real initiative to go at this right at the get-go has to be, what are we trying to accomplish in concrete numbers? How are we going to get a baseline? How are we going to evaluate every single program that we're investing in, not just the new ones, but the ones that we already have, and develop the database that we need to track that on a regular basis? And it needs to become part of the request for proposal process that our departments use. If you don't meet the measured outcomes, you shouldn't get funded the next year.
Well, and you're hitting upon where I'm going and my overall focus, and that is I'm concerned about the emotional aspect of this argument versus the thought-out process. And here is a well-thought-out, defined policy that will be effective, that will produce the results we want. This is what it's going to cost. This is what we need to raise. Thus, this is what we need to do. That hasn't been it at all. It seems to me to be more of, let's beat up on a target that's easy to hit because we all know the problems. We read the sensational coverage in the press, as opposed to having to be a well-thought-out public policy. It's a knee-jerk reaction and an opportunity to kick somebody when they're vulnerable, and that concerns me.
Well, Representative Molden, through the chair, I hear what you're saying, and that's why I think that we've been so pleased in working with the legislature is in the areas that we've gotten involved with you, we have been able to develop that exact kind of intelligent public policy instead of just whacking away because it's something that's easy to get at. And so absolutely, I think if you're going to invest in these programs, we need to develop some mechanism through the legislature, the committee process, however you all want to do it, so that we do implement this in that intelligent public policy arena and not just respond to people that want to throw money at the problem, because that isn't going to get it.
Thank you, Jim. I'm sorry, Mr.
Representative Harris. Just really quickly to follow up on what Representative Mulder said, and I think, Jeff, you know, and I think all the department heads that have come before us in the mission and measure process, we're trying to get them so that they're defined well enough that we can actually figure out what, and that's why I said to you, figure out what programs are working and what are failures and why are they a failure. Are they a failure because they don't have enough of money going toward them? Are they a failure because they don't work for a variety of other reasons? Or what? Our focus, and will certainly be again this coming year, is to try and help those programs that are working and that are actually making a definable difference. And those programs that aren't, we're going to try to figure out why they're not. And if it has nothing to do with money, we're probably not going to focus as much on them. And they may actually get less money. You know, we're all working under a budget system here that the people of the state of Alaska, I think, understand that. If we're gonna balance the budget on anything besides the CBR, we're gonna balance it on their pocketbook, some ways or another. And this is an example here of pocketbook out of some drinkers or all drinkers, but there'll be others, and we're not gonna get the $600 million or above out of the alcohol industry or the tobacco industry or tobacco user or anybody else. It's gonna be out of everybody in the state somehow. So we wanna again, I think, with the mission and the measures that we wanna do, we wanna target those programs that truly work and emphasize.
Representative Harris, through the chair, I couldn't agree more, but I will identify one problem with the mission and measures approach, and that is that it tends to be big picture. Generally, at the department level and even division level, you're trying to turn the curve on the big picture. We want to reduce binge drinking. We want to reduce DWI. What we really need to do to get where you want to go, and I know where Representative Mulder wants to go, and this is a mistake the trust has made, we haven't focused enough on penetrating that mentality down to the grant manager, grantee level, because that's where you hold individual programs accountable for their results. You know, if you look at the data and you say, well, binge drinking hasn't gone down. These programs don't work. Well, it may be half of them are reducing binge drinking by 50%, and the other half are getting guys together that then can identify a buddy to go drinking with. And they're contributing to the problem. If we don't drill down on missions and measures and get to the individual program level, you're not going to get that kind of accountability.
That's where we need cooperation from lower staff.
That's correct. Lower staff and the grantees themselves have to step up to the plate and quit avoiding responsibility and accountability for the programs they deliver. I'll tell you, one thing that Health and Social Services has come to us now for a couple of years is $1 million for a new management information system. And the trustees so far haven't been willing to go there because they haven't been able to identify how that system is going to accomplish the goal that we have in mind.
Representative Bundy.
Thank you for a second comment. And thank you for your candor. I really appreciate folks that will address the problem and all. You did say one thing that I view a little differently, perhaps, than you. And on behalf of those legislators who have proposed a personal state tax, 100% of Alaskans do not pay for these problems. Other than, if you want to view, well, the pot belongs to all of us. And when we have alcohol tax, we have rental car tax, we have tourist tax. And one of my big concerns is that we'll have all this little nipping around the edges, and everybody's doing this. You know, they got their tax flak jacket on. And when it comes down to discussing Representative Mosley or Hudson's bill, they say, wait a minute. We gave you all those other taxes. Don't come see me. And it sort of, I think, deflects the issue or takes the spotlight away from perhaps where it needs to be.
Well, thank you, Representative Bundy. I do stand corrected in part from a financial standpoint. It's something that's always bothered me that people say, oh, you know, I'm a taxpayer, you know, I can't stand my tax money being wasted when somebody else will pay tax. But, you know, there's another sense in which we all do pay, and that's the consequences of alcohol abuse. When kids are abused, when women are abused, when people drive drunk and kill families, we all pay a price. And in that sense, every Alaskan does pay the price of alcohol consumption in these states. But you're correct. Monetarily, it's still uncomfortable to pay.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, we'll go back to Ketchikan, West Loeb.
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Wes?
Good. Thank you. My name is Wes Lowe. I've managed Newtown Liquor in Ketchikan for 15 years. I've been president of Ketchikan Char for the last 5 years. If you've noticed that not one person is opposed of taxing alcohol, I believe that the 300% tax on alcohol would devastate the hospitality industry here in Ketchikan. We don't have the fishing we used to have. Obviously, we don't have the timber, the hospitality industry is a very vital, important industry in Ketchikan. And to the gentleman on this 10 cents a drink, when you figure this whole thing out at the wholesaler's level, then it goes to retail. Just to give you a simple example, a $10 bottle of whiskey with a 300% increase would go to $21.49, whereas the retailer would make the same amount of money off of $21.49 as he would $10. So that 10 cents a drink tax is actually it's a little off. I'm not opposed to putting alcohol, a higher tax on alcohol. I think we should go to the board, work out something that's a little bit more agreeable to our industry, because with the lack of logging and fishing in the lower southeast, it's going to hurt us quite a bit. I have 7 employees at my store. I have single parents working for me. It would affect 2.5 people, just taking a shot in the dark as far as what I would have to do to adjust my payroll. And it's an issue. It's definitely a very important issue, and we are at war. There are conventions that's been canceled here in Ketchikan, and we can feel the effect of it here. Again, I'm not opposed of a tax on alcohol, but 300% tax on alcohol would be devastating to our industry. And we are the second largest employer, the hospitality industry, in Ketchikan. So thank you for listening to me. You gentlemen and ladies have a nice day.
Thank you. We have one question here.
Yeah. It's been, I wanted to hear from someone on the retail, and it's been stated here that the cheap booze, the MD 2020, Ripple, and that sort of thing, is going up the same amount as Glenlivet or Cavassier or something, and so that the impact on the cheap booze is higher, and there are apt to be less volume of the cheap stuff sold. Is that accurate?
No, I don't think it would. I don't think it would affect the lower end. You know, we had a conference up in Alyeska, and we were looking at and talking to some gentlemen that were dealing with the Wilderness Court in Juneau, And this gentleman that we were talking to, he was on a case of beer and a fifth of whiskey a day, and he's pulled through it very well.